You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere. Here are your hosts, Richard Justice and Allison Footer.
This is MLB.com Extras, the San Diego Padres. I'm Richard Justice of MLB.com, joined by Allison Footer of MLB.com. And soon our Padres beat writer Corey Brock will be right here with us. You know, Allison, it's interesting. The Padres fire the general manager. They trade their closer, Houston Street. And it, at a time when the focus is on the future, I mean, I guess Buddy Black's future as manager is somewhat in doubt. These guys have had an unbelievable month pitching-wise, one of the great months in history. They can't score any runs until the last few days. Isn't it fascinating how teams evolve in the course of a season? And it's almost like you never know what you're going to get. But when you look at the Padres, maybe the blueprint that Josh Burns and Buddy Black came up with last winter might have been good.
It might have been good, and it might have not been good, and we're not really going to know anything until we give this more time. But certainly, sometimes the plan takes longer to carry out, and those are the teams that don't end up contending because you can't give them 4 months to figure it out. So
yeah, and I still would like just a chance to get a full season, to get Cameron Maben on the field for a whole season. Maybe it's never going to happen, and Josh Johnson will probably be gone. Tyson Ross has evolved. Andrew Cashner will be back off the disabled list. I mean, I guess we say this about a lot of clubs, but if you tend to look at it the way a scout would look at it, there's a lot to like about the Padres. Now, does that mean you can compete with the Dodgers and the Giants? Who knows? They're already in third place. But I'm rooting for them. I think it'd be cool if they finish fast and get a good start toward 2015.
Well, I would just like them to see them not fire Buddy Black, because he's not the problem. And so I think that if you give him players that can play and that can win, I think he'd be a good manager for that. And I think, like, making changes just for the sake of making changes would be a mistake. Okay, let's bring in the Padres MLB.com reporter, Corey Brock. Corey has been all over the news in San Diego lately when there's been a lot of it coming out of there, of course. Corey, let's start with the new general manager. So they finally decided on A.J. Preller, who was with the, I guess, about 10 years with the Rangers when he was hired. What set him apart from everybody else and what really distinguished himself?
Yeah, Allison, a really interesting process. The Padres interviewed 8 candidates, had 4 back for second interviews, and came down to 2 guys, A.J. Preller of the Rangers and Billy Epler of the Yankees. And ultimately they went with A.J. Preller because he really, really hit on 2 elements that they really want to, really focus on moving forward. One of which is they want to be active in the international market. But first and foremost, he satisfies their needs as a top-notch talent evaluator. They want to bring in more talent into the system. You know, there's no fancy way to really cut that up. This is a team that hasn't made the playoffs since 2006 for the better part of the last decade. They failed to draft and develop impact players. They've gotten quite a few guys to the big leagues and guys that have made it to the big leagues with other teams, pieces they've had to move in trades. But as far as drafting, developing, and bringing impact players to the big leagues, they just haven't done a very good job of that. And the Padres, of course, are never going to be a team that spends a lot in free agency. So you need to be active internationally. You need to do a better job in the draft. And they feel like A.J. Preller is kind of a bright young mind, walking baseball encyclopedia with scouting on the brain, a scouting background. They feel like he's going to be the guy that kind of carries them into that next generation. And, you know, they gave him 5 years. And this is kind of I wouldn't call it an unheard of commitment for a first-year general manager, but, you know, John Daniels, you know, a decade or so ago got a 3-year deal as a first-year GM. Jed Hoyer a few years ago got 4 years. So this is a lengthy commitment from the front office, from upper management, to a guy that's never done this job before. So to people on the outside saying, you know, well, okay, well, how much time, how much rope are they going to give him? 5 years is a pretty steep commitment. So I think for the Padres, this is an important hire. This is an organization at a crossroads, and we'll see where this all goes.
Was he? I kind of heard that he had maybe been pushing for that 5 years. That was a big part of the negotiations getting down to the wire. I mean, was he just set on making them understand that this is a long-term project? And does that sort of make them understand that he's not going to come in and be able to just work miracles overnight, that this is going to take a while?
Yeah, and I think maybe from both sides, it's sort of understanding that, maybe the Padres realize, hey, in order to get this guy, we have to give him a longer deal. And maybe they finally understood that, the miracles, yes, indeed, do not happen overnight. And especially, Allison, as you know, when you're dealing with that international market and you're dealing with, signing 16, 17-year-old players, you have to give these guys, 5, 6, 7 years before we even know what they're going to become as players. So, and I think it's fair. I think that's a fair deal for any GM. The previous general manager, Josh Burns, only got two and a half years before they moved on from him. So I think this is a pretty good deal all the way around for the Padres and for Preller.
Were the Padres not big players in the international market before this? I mean, it sounds like you say they wanted to make inroads in there. Has this been an area where they've been lacking, lagging behind maybe some of the other teams?
Well, that's what's interesting. They built this beautiful facility in the Dominican Republic about 7 or 8 years ago, and they've had, they've been more active down there. They just haven't, for whatever reason, haven't been able to get, they've gotten some guys through the system, but they haven't had a whole lot of guys reach the big leagues. I don't think they've had a single guy reach the big leagues, I should say. So that's a part of it. Latin America is certainly a big part of this. Let's be honest, but there's also, the Japanese market. Mexico, I think, is going to be a big push for them. And I don't think a lot of people consider Mexico to be a big hotbed for baseball. But I think it's becoming more of a presence on the international market. I know the Dodgers have made some inroads there with some players that they've signed that are currently in their minor league system. And one of the Padres' lead investors owns two teams in Mexico, two professional teams. He's probably one of the wealthiest men in all of Mexico. And so I think, they want to strengthen their footprint in Mexico. I think they got away from that for many years, and certainly bordering on Mexico. I think they want to increase their presence and their brand in Mexico and maybe gain a little bit more of a foothold there. So it's kind of an all-encompassing, and I think it's still sort of developing. But I think people can expect the Padres to be a little bit more active. And, I would caution fans. I think a lot of people assume that you have to spend a ton of money to be active internationally. And you do. And certainly a lot, the talent pool now, you're limited on what you could spend now. But I think there's other ways for teams to still be active, still find players, and, not break the bank.
Yeah, I guess it's a financial commitment because it's funny because I hear that the Mexico thing from a couple different teams that's sort of emerging as this great, untapped market. A couple years ago when Jeff Luno came on to be GM of the Astros, and he was saying that they wanted to be more active in Mexico. And you kind of wonder, why hasn't that happened already? It's almost like, okay, one team said it, and everyone's like, oh, yeah, we need to become more active in Mexico. You would think that that's always been an area where they want to go looking for baseball talent, and I guess maybe it's not.
Well, and it's not like, we've never seen any players come out of Mexico. I could think of a pretty good left-handed pitcher for the Dodgers back in the 80s that was pretty darn good. But, but the rules are a little different there too, Allison. And I'm still trying to kind of, figure all this out for myself. But, I think in Mexico, in terms of your, that international pool of money that these teams have that, you can't exceed, I think in Mexico you deal directly with the teams, and that doesn't count against your draft pool. So it's kind of a game changer a little bit. That said, you're still looking for good players, and it's not like there's this vast pool of exciting young top prospects. It's probably still kind of an emerging market there, but there are some good players there. Like I said, the Dodgers have found a couple pretty good gems. So, I fully expect the Padres to be active there moving forward.
So now the Padres of today, they seem to be clicking a little bit. So they're offensively, they really come through after the All-Star break. And it's kind of funny that when you take I mean, I see this happen a lot when you take sort of the star player out of the equation, whether it's injury, trade, whatever, and all of a sudden everybody else sort of steps up and it seems like they make up for it. So to see him lose his Chase Headley, and not that he was doing that much when he was still with the Padres, but there seems to be some things coming together. What are your observations in the last few weeks?
Yeah, and that's kind of funny. And the people are like, oh, we should have traded Chase Headley a long time ago. And I was like, well, you know, that's not really the answer. But, you know, that's if that's the narrative you want to buy, fans, that's fine. But, you know, it's kind of a different mix of guys, you know, kind of a melting pot of some minor league free agents. Jeff Francoeur's is here, Allison. So that's it's kind of an interesting mix. Chris Nelson is a minor league
agent.
Good
stuff.
Yeah, it's kind of, but you know, the other thing though, I should say is that, you know, they've gotten a couple guys back who have been injured and missed extensive time. One of which is first baseman Yonder Alonso, missed 30 games with tendonitis in his right wrist. He had 2 3-hit games in Minnesota recently. He's starting to drive the ball a little bit more. Jed Jerko missed quite a bit of time with plantar fasciitis in his left foot. He's been hitting the ball since he's come back. So, you know, a lot of these guys that missed a lot of time are starting to come back. So you're starting to get your guys coming back if you're the Padres. Now, the kicker is, you know, before these guys got hurt, they weren't producing. And, you know, I think we talked about this on a previous podcast, Allison, is that, you know, my 8 years covering the team, you maybe would have one or two guys, or maybe three or four even, not really hitting at once. But I had never seen like five or six or even seven guys so cold for so long, and I'm talking 2 or 3 months. So it wasn't like these guys were tearing the cover off the ball when they were hurt. But I think the thinking was that these guys couldn't stay this cold for this long. You know what I mean? I think eventually these guys were going to trend upward, at least get a little bit closer to what their previous marks have been throughout their major league career. And I think we're starting to see that a little bit. I don't know where this all kind of ends up. What is the team? Maybe in 9 games under 500, playing a little bit better. The pitching has been the constant for them. Ian Kennedy, Tyson Ross, Andrew Cashner will return from the disabled list here a little bit later this month. So, you know, they're in third place in the National League West, so that's kind of about where they belong. It'll be interesting to see. And, of course, now with the new general manager, the offseason promises to be a whole lot more exciting. And what are his visions for the 25-man roster? What are his visions for the 40-man roster, the front office? So no shortage of storylines for this team moving forward.
The one thing that I love is just watching, like, Trevor Hoffman, I guess he's being inducted into the Padres Hall of Fame coming up. I just talked with Greg Johns, who was getting ready for the Mariners to honor Lou Piniella, inducting him into their Hall of Fame, and I think this stuff is great. I just love it when they bring, you know, the stars of the past and give the fans a chance to really cheer them and honor them. And so I guess it's fitting that it's kind of surprising it hasn't happened yet, but that Trevor Hoffman's going to be honored by the Padres. I mean, he's one of the greatest all-time Padres. So just, you know, kind of your thoughts on Trevor and what he's meant to that franchise.
Yeah, and they had a big event for him a couple years ago where they retired his number. They've only done that for a handful of guys, and a big on-field ceremony, and that was really cool. So it's neat that he's going into the Padres Hall of Fame, and that'll be at the end of August before a game against the Dodgers. So it's going to be neat, and it's just like this is setting up for a whole lot of cool events for Trevor, probably leading up to, you know, what I would expect, and I would hope, and I'm sure Padre fans hope that he gets into the Hall of Fame on a first ballot here in a couple years. And such a classy guy, and you talk about a guy that has meant so much to San Diego, and I think Padre fans, you know, have always appreciated Trevor, and I think, and I don't know, maybe this is overstating it a little bit, but, you know, like, in what's been a really tough year for, I assume, Padre fans. You know, I didn't grow up in San Diego, and certainly in covering the team, you know, you have to remain, you know, objective and everything. But I think this has been a tough year for the team. The team has struggled. They fired their general manager. Aside from all that, Jerry Coleman passed away in January. Tony Gwynn passed away in June. That, you know, you really embrace, you know, your treasures. You know what I mean? The guys that are important to your franchise. And I'm not sure, you know, the guys that are still around, Trevor is right at the very top of that list, and he's kind of the embodiment a lot of things that are good about the Padres, and you know, it was around for those the heyday, and got a lot of meaningful outs and a lot of meaningful games, and still a part of the organization as a kind of an upper level pitching coordinator, and you still see him around, and it's just so down to earth, and lives in the community and will always live in the community, and just a treasure, and just any time spent with Trevor is a good time, and I've always enjoyed being around him and getting to know him since my first year in 07, and I know people who have a much longer and deeper history with Trevor than I do feel the same way, so it promises to be a really fun night.
It's always good when good players are also good people, so that's good to hear. Corey, thank you so much for your time. We'll be checking in with you a little bit later. Appreciate it.